the supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam and welcome to this episode of today's special. We open the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 14th of Rabiul Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of Aban, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 31st of October, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we open today's special by the recitation of chapter Al-Imran, verse 19. We'll listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Inna ad-deena 'inda Allahil Islam. وَمَا اخْتَلَفَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا ومن يكفر بآيات الله فإن الله سريع الحساب.
Indeed, the religion in the sight of Allah is Islam. And those who were given the scripture did not differ except after knowledge had come to them, out of jealous animosity between themselves. And whoever disbelieves in the verses of Allah, then indeed, Allah is swift in taking account.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear brothers and sisters, the spirit of religion is the very submission to Allah. Next to the statement of the unity of Allah, the Quran refers to the oneness of religion. Thus, the true religion with Allah is surrender, or the submission of the self of adherent to the will or command of Allah. The spirit of religion, in fact, in any time and period, is not anything but submission to divine will.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها شفاعة أنا لها.
Today we're going to speak about peace based on justice. If we want to study Islamic peace, we shall have to do so in the framework of the overall Islamic ideology. Islam is, in a manner, a single entity. We should not look at any Islamic concept in isolation. We must have the whole structure in view. We may describe the whole Islamic ideology in one word: justice. God has laid the foundation of Islam on justice. Justice has been defined as putting a thing in its rightful place. A judge does justice when he awards or restores a disputed item to its rightful owner. This brings us to the concept of peace. When everything is kept in its rightful place, when every member knows not only his rights but also his duties towards others, then peace resides in society, and the society works smoothly like a well-balanced watch. It is what we call balance, harmony, and equilibrium.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa bi nasta'in. Islam as a religion cannot be devoid of the crucial aspect of people's social communication or intercourse with each other. Although all religions, at least all the divine religions, share the point of people's individual relation with the Creator, with the deity, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of the Islamic religion, in the domain of all religions, we find that the Islamic religion has maintained a special emphasis on not only the individual or personal aspect of life, rather on the social aspect of human life. In fact, as people, people need each other for life because of this essential and absolute social need, the Islamic religion has since stressed on peaceful relations with other people. This stands in contrast to the efforts of some Orientalists who have tried to associate the face and fate of the Islamic religion with the sword, with bloodshedding, with the dissemination of Islam, not in terms of articles of faith or the creeds, rather by the force of the sword. Now we find that in the Islamic religion, the best source and the most reliable text, standard text, reference text, according to which everybody may come up with a good understanding of the basic and essential teachings in the Islamic religion, is nothing but the Holy Quran. In the Holy Quran, we find that people, I mean, in the pre-Islamic age, or even in the Islamic age, whenever some people wanted to kindle the fire of military conflicts and contestation and war, it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who extinguished the fire of war.
ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء أنت في الوجدان حي أنت للعينين ضي أنت عند الحوض ري أنت هاد وصفي يا حبيبي يا
You are with today's special and now amazing tips to become a better Muslim. What is today's tip? Keep away from debates and argument. Verily, Prophet Muhammad, the last prophet of Allah, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his pure progeny, said, Verily, anger spoils faith as aloe spoils honey. Trying to constantly defend your religion is something that will cause you a lot of stress. This may happen to different people at different levels. The best thing to do is avoid these arguments at all costs. If you're mature about your religion and display a desire to explain yourself without refuting others, then many doors will open for you. You are bound to give someone a refreshing view of Islam, which is what so many people are hungry for after seeing Islam in such a negative light in the media. Staying away from these discussions will put you at peace. A lot of converts are not really comfortable with bringing up their religion because of the backlash they receive. If we just mention it when necessary, we get a more positive reaction. You'll be surprised to hear, Oh, that's cool, dude. What made you pick that religion? This is always an opportunity for inviting to Islam.
You came to me in that hour of need. When I was so lost, so lonely, you came to me, took my breath away, showed me the right way, the way to lead. You filled my heart with love, showed me the light above. Now all I want is to be with you, you are my me to never judge is to be with you.
Things you need to know to understand Islam. One of them is the Quran. The Quran is the Islamic holy book. The Quran is the holy book for Muslims and is made up of the teachings especially for Muslim believers thought to Prophet Muhammad by the angel Gabriel and Allah, the Almighty. Parts of the Quran are recited every day in the five daily prayers for Muslims, and the actual book should not touch the ground. Among things you need to know to understand Islam, and Muslims also believe in the Bible and the Torah. In addition to the Quran, Muslims are believe in the Bible that the Prophet Jesus preached, as well as the Torah that the Prophet Moses brought down to earth. However, because Prophet Muhammad is the last of the prophets to bring down a religious book in the eyes of the Muslims, they see the Quran as the most perfected and final one out of the three.
Today, all over the news, we hear slander and bad talk against the religion of Islam, against the values of the Muslims, against the Prophet of the religion of Islam, and against the Muslim buildings, even the mosques. All over the news, wherever you go, you see talk against Islam. People accusing Muslims of being terrorists. People accusing Muslims of being violent. You see this wherever you go today. Where Muslims want to build a mosque, they find it very difficult to build a mosque. We today as Muslims find ourselves being victims of terrorism. The terrorism that's being done by others, we are the victims. We are the ones who have to pay the price for this. Every day, wherever we go, every time we turn on the news, we have to pay the price for that. So now, what can we do about it? We have to do something about it. The majority of the Muslims are not terrorists. The majority of the Muslims are not killing people and blowing up people. It's all stereotypes. So what do we do about it? What's our duty? Our duty is to educate ourselves, and after educating ourselves, we will be able to educate others. We'll be able to teach people about the true religion of Islam.
Mustafa, Mustafa.
Dear brothers and sisters, you can follow these discussions, these parts, on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, wassalamu alaikum.
Lost and hearts frozen from your Allah came a prophet chosen, blessed prophet Muhammad, obedient to you taught us the things we are to do. Muhammad ya Rasul Allah, Muhammad ya Habib Allah, Muhammad ya Nabi.
Food for thought.
Salam, and here are words of guidance from the Prophet of Islam that are food for thought for Islamic unity. On the resurrection day, no foot of a servant of Allah will move before being asked about four things: the years and how they were spent, the body and how it was used, the wealth and how it was earned and spent, and about love towards us, the Ahlul Bayt.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Again, I stress the importance of this week we are in, the week that begins with the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, based on our Sunni brothers and sisters and the date that their historians and their scholars have seen to be authentic, and ends with the date that the Shia scholars claim to be authentic. Regardless of which is really authentic, the most important thing, as I mentioned previously, is that we implement the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And more so, as a community, as the Muslim Ummah, we come together and we remove our differences that are minor, that are minute, that, for example, you know, can be easily pushed away. And let us join on something that is true, something that is solid, something that has a firm foundation. as I mentioned in our previous programs. In this tradition from Imam Ali alayhi salam that we will mention today, the Imam mentions certain acts or certain things that result in the separation of a community. That this community that was once upon a time joined, was once upon a time united, was one, you know, front, became divided because of issues that occurred. Certain things happened within it, or certain individuals decided to create certain problems, and now this community got split. What are those things that the Imam mentions? The Imam says that, verily you are brothers in the religion of Allah. So we are all brothers and sisters, you know, as per the Holy Quran teaching as well. Nothing has separated you except ill natures and bad consciences, that you have bad thoughts about someone else. You think ill of somebody else. You know, you suspect their brother. You're paranoid, for example, at times of their brother. To that extent, some people go. Consequently, you do not bear the burdens of each other. You do not help one another. That brother of yours may be in problems. You say, that's his problem. Nothing to do with me. You know, so you're not really your brother then. Because your brother is he who helps the other brother. It's his own problem. Let him do it himself. You know? Nor do you advise each other. Nor spend on each other. Nor love each other. So these are certain things that the Imam says cause the separation of a community. That as we see right now in the world we live in today, this world where the philosophy that is based on humanism, that me as individual am important, this is what is occurring. That I care about myself, I care about my own certain space and nothing else. No one should come into my space, nor should I go into anybody else's space. This is not what Islam teaches us. Islam is that your brother's space is your space. Always to a certain level that Islam allows it. But if he's hurt, go help him. If he needs you, go and go to his aid. Love him. Assist him. Advise him if you're able to. And don't just let him be on his own. Always if he rejects you, that's a different story. You have your responsibility. He has his responsibility. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to unite our hearts, especially right now in this current situation where Islam is in need of unity. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Salaamu Alaikum. In the new series of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, first we're going to have some quotes about the Quran by some Western scholars. Then we're going to listen to some verses of the Noble Quran recited by one of the famous reciters from around the world. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed of the Noble Quran, is going to analyze the recitation. And finally, at the end, you're going to listen to a segment called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Dear audience, stay tuned. John Davenport has said in his book, An Apology for Muhammad and the Quran, the following. The Quran is a general code. A religious, social, civil, commercial, military, judicial, criminal, penal code. It regulates everything, from the ceremonies of religion to those of daily life, from the salvation of the soul to the health of the body, from rights of all to those of each individual, from the interests of man to those of society, from morality to crime, from punishment here to that in the life to come. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 1 to 4 of Surah Maryam, recited by Sheikh Hamdi Zamil.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters who are listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to the recitation of Sheikh Hamdi Zamil, who recited Surah Maryam, verses 1 to 4. And now we want to analyze this recitation and talk about the rules of tajweed that exist in these few verses. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كاف ها يا عين صاد. This is حروف المقطعة. The first verse of Surah Maryam is حروف المقطعة. You have to pronounce the name of each of the letters. Three of them have مد لازم, مد لازم, and two of them they don't have مد. They have a normal مد الطبيعي. ها يا. But كاف, we have to lengthen it 6 vowel counts. Ayn. Some say that you're allowed to lengthen it to either 4 or 6, but if you lengthen it to 6, it's better. And finally, Sad, which is a metulazim. You have to lengthen to 6 vowel counts. When pronouncing Ayn, Sad, when you pronounce the nun sakin of the Ayn, at the same time, you have to apply ikhfa of nun sakina, and you have to approximate the place of articulation of sod. 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 So, whenever you are pronouncing the huruf al-muqatta'a, you observe all of the rules of tajweed, which includes ilhar, idgham, ikhfa, and other rules. For example, we say alif lam mim. We have idgham of mim sakina, and whenever we pronounce lam and mim together, so we have to apply the ghunna of the mim. Dhikru rahmati rabbika abdahu zakariya. Dhikru, the ra has tafkhim. Rahmati, again, the ra has tafkhim, because ra, whenever it has a fatha or dhamma, you have to pronounce it with tafkhim. Abdahu, we have qalqala of ba. The sound of ba should bounce back from its place of articulation and should not be trapped there. Abdahu, abdahu. You should not say abdahu. Abdahu is incorrect. Zakariya. And the word Zakariya, the ra has tarqiq, because ra here has a kasra. It does not have fatha or dhamma. Zakariya, the mouth is empty and it's spread, the lips are spread. Zakariya, because you're pronouncing the ya, the ya ul-mad. Zakariya idhnada. Zakariya idhna. This is matul munfasil that we have. Idhnada rabbahu nida'an khafiya. Nida'an, this is matul muttasil. This is conjunct lengthening. It's different from matul munfasil. You have to lengthen it to 4 or 5 vowel counts. Qala rabbi inni wana al'awmu minni washta'ala ar-ra'su shayban wa lam. We have idgham of nun sakina here, so the nun sakina is not pronounced. The waw is pronounced with shatta and also ghunna for 2 vowel counts. Walam akum bi du'aika rabbi shaqiyya. Akum, we have iqlab of nun sakina, and bi du'aika we have another matul muttasil. Rabbi shaqiyya, the qaf of shaqiyya has to be pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhim. That's it for today's program. Inshallah, in the next episodes of this program, we will listen to more recitations from famous reciters from all over the world. Inshallah.
Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the final segment of the program called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran. We invite you to listen to Brother Yasser Ibrahim. He's going to tell us stories of those whose lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Another story that we would like to mention today is a very beautiful story about how the verse, or a verse of the Holy Quran, changed a person who had such a high responsibility during the time of ignorance of Jahiliyyah. And one verse and one act of kindness, or one act of, not even kindness, of duty, of like an intellectual responsibility that, you know, everybody can think of, changed this person into becoming, you know, a Muslim and remaining with that very important responsibility. It has been mentioned that when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, achieved the conquest of Makkah,
The person who held the keys of the Kaaba was a person by the name of Uthman ibn Talha. Now when this individual found out that the Holy Prophet and his army had entered into the holy city of Mecca, he locked the doors of the holy Kaaba and he ran to the roof. And he stayed there. And he says that, if I believed that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was the Prophet of God, I would have given him the keys. But I don't believe he is the Prophet of God. Hence, I will not give him the keys. This is not his responsibility. It's my responsibility. I am responsible for the keys of the Kaaba. So Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam managed to get on top of the roof and somehow, you know, forcefully, as you know, we all know about the power and the might of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he managed to get the keys from this individual Uthman. And he gave the keys to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The door of the Kaaba was opened and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into the Kaaba. He prayed two rakat or two units of prayer in it and he came out. It is then reported that the uncle of the Holy Prophet Abbas came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and requested that he be given the keys and responsibilities of keeping the keys of the Kaaba. Why? Because the uncle of the Holy Prophet Abbas was also responsible for giving water to those individuals who would come for the pilgrimage of the Hajj. Obviously the Hajj at that time was very different from the Hajj we had now. So he was responsible for the well of Zamzam. So he wanted a dual responsibility. You know, it would be more privilege for him as well, you know, more honor for the Quraysh. At that time, this verse of the Holy Quran was revealed. That إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمَرُكُمْ أَن تُعَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. That indeed or surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to deliver the trusts to their rightful owners. At this time, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was commanded by the Holy Prophet, take this keys and give it back to Uthman ibn Talha. So when Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam goes back and returns the keys, this person is perplexed. He says, "Oh Ali, first you came and you forcefully took these keys from me. Now you are coming and you're giving it back to me with such kindness, with such softness. Look, what is wrong? What happened here?" Then Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam told this individual that we have been commanded by this verse that we just recited from Surah Nisa, the 58th verse of the Holy Quran of this surah, that we need to return the trust back to the rightful owners. This person then got so, his heart became so enlightened by this, that it's such a religion is like this, that even I, who am not a believer, but this is my trust, my amana, that I have been told that I should, you know, be returned to me. He became a Muslim at that particular time, and him and his family, as according to this tradition, became those who kept the keys to the Holy Kaaba. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق فيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
The first methodology that the Quran uses
is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
We see that the Holy Prophet is very kind, very generous, very merciful, very forgiving, beyond imagination, beyond things that we can't do. We in the Muslim community, in the Shia community, right here, one time a brother, a sister says something that we find offensive, there's something that stays in that heart of ours that we can't break through and forgive and completely act as though nothing happened. We can't. The Holy Prophet, an ignorant person, because of all the misinformation that they were spreading against the Prophet, all the wrong language, this female constantly, daily disrespects the Prophet, and then when she gets sick, you've all heard the story, the Holy Prophet goes and visits her. How can a person have that type of behavior? You see that on one hand, the ability to forgive in ways that are really not understandable. We can't really understand this. At the same time, at the very same time, there is some very harsh behavior that the Holy Prophet has. Surah Al-Ahzab is about the Battle of Ahzab. Many of us know it as the Battle of Khandaq, or the trench, because that was one of the tactics that was used against the enemies. All the enemies of the Prophet joined hands, created an alliance to defeat the Prophet, to kill him and his followers once and for all. Part of that alliance were the Jews, one of the tribes, one of the three tribes of the Jews that lived around Medina, close to Medina. There was one that was living further away in Khaybar, that was dealt with at a different time. Two other tribes had been dealt with prior to this, the ones around Medina. This one tribe had remained there. They joined the alliance against their agreement, the treaty they had with the Holy Prophet. And this time, it's not like the other two. The Holy Quran tells us, after the part of that battle that had to do with the mushrikeen that had come from the south, after that was taken care of, the Holy Prophet told the believers, look, he said, don't waste any time. Dhuhr time was coming in, or had come in already. The Holy Prophet said, leave the prayer. The Holy Prophet who said, the prayer is the pillar of the religion, praying at the beginning of time is so important, all those great sayings that are there, the Holy Prophet told his companions, leave the prayer. We have got to go to that tribe right now. We have to deal with this problem right now. No forgiving, no, none of that. We've got to deal with them right now. Leave your prayer, we have to go deal with them right now. How did he deal with them? The Quran says, he killed a group of them and took the rest as captives, according to reliable, legitimate, authentic hadith. The Quran already says how this was, how the two different groups of people, it's either that they were killed or they were taken as captives. This is very harsh behavior. This is not kindness as we understand it, at least. In some Irfani sense, maybe it is, and it is.
But in the way we understand it, this is not how you show mercy. Okay. The Holy Prophet deals with them this way. They're both the akhlaq. I was thinking about it because this is something that is new to a lot of us. When we talk about akhlaq, we think of all the nice stuff, the smiles. We think of forgiving. We don't think of the harsh behavior. No, that, the whole thing is akhlaq. If you have doubts on that, go to the dua known as Makarimul Akhlaq in Sahifa As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Zain al-Abidin. Look at the lines that are there. Is it only all the nice stuff? It includes both. Both are there. This is the akhlaq of the Holy Prophet. What I want to add tonight is, how is it possible for a person to be able to do that? How is it? We want to learn from this. He is uswatun hasana. He was a role model. We want to learn from him. How can we do that? If we start being harsh, we can't show that mercy and kindness. If we're kind, if we're merciful, if we want to show that smile, we can't show the harshness. We can't bring both of them together. We start showing that smile, then the enemies that shouldn't receive smiles, we start smiling at them as well. If we don't smile at the enemies, then friends come along, you're like me. I have trouble smiling. You can't. How do you put both of them together? How is it possible to show kindness to the degree that the Prophet did, at the same time towards those people that deserve, or the Prophet should show that type of mercy, that type of kindness, that type of forgiveness, at the same time have the ability towards the ones that you need to be harsh, to have that harshness? There's probably more than one thing that's needed, but one necessary factor for sure is the factor of the nafs not being there. We have to get over the nafs. We have to get over the desires, the whims. We have to be able to get over that. If the nafs is there, the lady that the Prophet visited when she stopped hurting the Prophet on a daily basis, just put yourself in that situation. I put myself in that situation. I think of 1,001 reasons why I would not go and visit her. I would tell her, she's an enemy of Islam. She disrespected the turban. She disrespected ulama. It's not a personal thing. I can't go and smile at her. That's disrespect. Nafs is there. Nafs is there. I'm not able to see. The nafs gets involved, it blurs the vision. I take things personally. When I feel offended, and I have all the religious rhetoric and ammunition, I'll load it up, make it, justify it, so that religiously I'm not supposed to show that. The same way that when the enemies that deserve that angry face, who don't deserve the smile, when you're put in that situation, you start religiously justifying that, oh, this is a time for us to build bridges with these people. This is like, I've heard these things. Like, oh, you know, we have to be like Imam al-Sadiq. Imam al-Sadiq, he met with the tyrants of the time. It's for the good of Islam. Is it for the good of Islam? Did you read the details of how Imam al-Sadiq met with the tyrants of the time? Did you read the details of how Imam al-Kadhim met with the tyrants of the time? Is there any trace anywhere that suggests the imams were soft on the tyrants of the time? Absolutely. If the nafs is there, however, we have that problem of the nafs, the desires, the whims. I want certain things. Yeah. It's easy to lash out on the weak. It's easy to lash out against ignorant people who say things to you personally because of their ignorance. And it's difficult to lash out against the powerful enemies. And the nafs is offended. Yeah, if you see the powerful enemies of Islam, look at Saudi Arabia. The leader mentioned this his speech, and he's mentioned it a few times. Look at how the Americans, look at how Trump is speaking to the Saudi royal family. I don't think there's a curse word in the book that they haven't used, the ones that you can use diplomatically. There's not one in the book that has not been used by Trump especially. What's the behavior of this Al Saud family? What is their response? The best response, which I wish it was just that, is to say nothing. There's accounts that they've said things that are worse than that. I wish they would have just kept their mouths shut about it. But then, look at how they speak about the believers. Anyone, forget about the Shia, forget about the Islamic Republic, forget about Hashd al-Sha'bi, forget about the believers in Iraq, the believers in Yemen, forget about all of that. Sunnis in Saudi Arabia, Wahhabis in Saudi Arabia, if they were to dare disrespect the king, how would they be treated? Nafs. Nafs.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Azim Alim Halim Hakim Mateen Ghafur Shakur Wadud Qayyum وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Ocean of Dua.